Well, tonight is actually a really special night for our family, and I didn't even think about it until he just mentioned that it was the July 3rd. But 12 years ago tonight, we were in the Los Angeles airport getting ready to move to China. We actually left for China at like 11:30 at night or something, out of Los Angeles, spent the 4th of July in 2007 in the air, and we landed in China on the 5th of July. So this is the 12-year anniversary that our family moved to China. So praise God, God is good. And we left, you know, hallelujah, praise God. How many of you were here last year? I think it was last year when I spoke. Okay, so lots of people that weren't here, praise God. If you were here, you remember, you might not remember, probably don't remember, but we left with $35 a month of promise support and a 7-month-old baby. And so I always ask people, who would want to leave with $35 a month of support and a 7-month-old baby? Anybody? I've actually asked this question to literally thousands of people all across America, and I haven't gotten one hand. Well, I did get one hand, but she didn't understand the question. She wasn't really paying attention, and she accidentally raised her hand. And then when she realized what the question was, she quickly put it down. But praise God, God is faithful. So I said that, and actually I was up preaching in Portland, Oregon this last week, and the Lord kind of changed that. We had $35 a month of promise support, a 7-month-old baby. We had faith, and we had the ability to ask. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, is asking. And the Bible says that we can ask, and when we ask, that He hears us. And when He hears us, He answers our prayers, amen? When we ask according to His word, according to His will. And so, praise God. I'll share a little bit towards the end of some of the things we're doing in China, in Asia, but I want to share the word. How many love the word of God? Yes, praise God. And so, I want to start in the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Say everyone. Everyone. Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Verse 9. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Praise God. This shows us the goodness of God. The Bible, I always enjoyed Dad Hagen, Brother Hagen, when he would talk, he'd always quote that, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And he'd say it again, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And we serve a good God. And this just shows us, once again, the goodness of God, that if you ask for good things, God's going to give you good things. But I believe as believers, we don't ask enough. We don't ask for big enough things. We don't ask often enough. God's given us this awesome tool. I'm going to call it a tool tonight. The tool that we can ask. And when we ask according to His word, according to His will, we know that He hears us. Praise God. And you see in this verse, he says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, he says either ask or asks. So he's wanting us to ask, ask, ask. He's emphasizing the fact that you got to ask. Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of John chapter 14. I'm going to do a lot of scriptures tonight because the word of God is what transforms lives, what changed my life and what set me free and what gave me boldness to be a witness and gave us the ability to do what we do. And so I want to lift up the word of God tonight. Praise God. John chapter 14, verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. It says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Praise God, he says we can ask. And you know, the neat thing about this verse is the reason we ask was when God is able to fulfill your request, it brings God glory. And I believe, maybe not your life, but in my life, there's been many times, multiple times, maybe even more times than not, that I believe I've limited the ability of the amount of glory I've given God because I've asked too small. Because I haven't even asked, you know, sometimes you're going through a rough time and you start thinking about ways you can do it on your own. Anybody else ever done that? You know, it's a tough time, or maybe a time where, you know, you got a little lack, or you got a little pain somewhere, or, you know, something's going on that's not just the way you know it should be compared to what the Word tells us, and you try to work it out on your own. You know, you go and you take the aspirin, and there's nothing wrong with medicine. God gives us medicine, but you don't ask. You just take the aspirin first. Or you start thinking, well, I've got a little bit of money on this credit card, and I can just put that bill on the credit card, and then we can pay it off next month. Or you try to figure it out in your own understanding. But the Bible says to ask. And the reason that he wants us to ask is because it says right here, let me read this again, verse 13, it says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything," say anything. "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, we all know that you can't ask for another man's wife. We all know, you guys know, you're in a good church, one of the best churches in the nation concerning Bible teachers. You know what you can ask for and what you can't ask for. If you got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, you know what you can ask for and what you can't ask for. I'm not going to go into that, but he said anything according to his word, anything that he's promised in his word, we can ask for. Praise God. And the reason that we do it is to glorify the Father. It brings glory to God when he is able to meet our requests. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Here we see the word ask again. He is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think. So, you know, I can ask pretty big. I could ask for 1,000 people to come to Christ here at this church in the next 6 months before the end of this year. Or I could even ask for 2,000 people. But God can do exceedingly abundantly above that. Now you take a step of faith and you go. What do you have faith for? If you have faith for, but if you're not asking for anything, you're not going to get anything. So maybe you're not asking for 1,000 people or 2,000 people to get born again in Huntington, West Virginia in the next 6 months. But are you asking for one? Could you ask for just one? Could you ask for one a month? Okay, maybe six more. But if you don't ask for one or you don't ask for six, then you're not exercising your faith in that area. So praise God, we need to exercise our faith by asking. There's lots of ways to release your faith. You can release your faith by moving in a direction. You can release your faith by your words. You can release your faith by asking, when you ask according to his word, by confessing the word of God. But we need to ask. We need to be believing God for bigger things than what we've been believing for. Asking for things that we haven't been asking for. Amen. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. It says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Now, you could be wise in one area and be completely ignorant in another. Like, there's probably nobody in this room that would go out on the interstate and step out in front of a tractor trailer. Because you have enough wisdom to know that if you step out in front of a tractor trailer that's going 75 miles an hour down the road, that it's going to be a bad day for you, a bad day for the tractor trailer driver, a bad day for the EMS. It's going to be a bad day for your family. So you probably have enough wisdom not to do that. Now, if you're having thoughts like that, or if you're thinking about suicide, then come up and we'll minister to you after the service. You know, we're here to help you. But most people, that's wisdom. We know you just don't step out in front of moving vehicles. So you got wisdom in that area, but maybe not this church, but maybe one of the churches in Tennessee, where we just came from. Maybe there's some members in some of those churches there that they need some more wisdom concerning their finances. They've gotten in over their head in debt. You know, they've got credit card debt or a lot of debt. They've been spending more money than they're making, and so they need some wisdom in that area. So they need to ask. Well, here it says, so I'm showing that you can have wisdom in one area and be completely ignorant in another. So you got wisdom not to step out in front of a tractor trailer. Maybe most of you, hopefully in this room, have wisdom concerning finances, where you're not spending more than you make, and you're getting your bills paid off and your debts paid off, praise God, believing God to pay those off. But here it says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, that he who wins souls is wise. So if you're not winning souls, it doesn't mean you're not wise in other areas, but it means you need some wisdom in that area. The Bible said, Jesus said, if you follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. It wasn't like some people that follow me will become a fisher of men. He said, if you follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. So if you're following Jesus, you should automatically be a fisher of men. But there's wisdom there that is required, and it says right here that he who wins souls is wise. Praise God, we have another scripture that tells us we can ask for wisdom. One of my favorite scriptures, James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So here, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's telling us to ask for wisdom and ask in faith, not doubting. So when we ask for wisdom, we should ask and believe, God, I ask for wisdom. And so I thank you that you're giving me wisdom, giving me liberal portions of wisdom. Praise God. So if you know better than I do, if you haven't led anybody to Christ in the last week, in the last month, in the last 6 months, in the last year, you know that you need to ask for wisdom in that area. If you've led a few people but you want to lead more, there's wisdom there. The wisdom of God is unsearchable. God has so much wisdom available if we'll just ask. And so I encourage you every day to ask God, I ask you for wisdom. Today, Holy Spirit, give me wisdom to reach the lost. Give me wisdom to if you have debt, to pay down my debt. Give me wisdom to take care of my family. Give me wisdom in my marriage. Give me wisdom in my family. Give me wisdom in my business. I don't believe we ask enough. Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's just me. But I think that there's been so many things in life. Most of the mistakes I've made because I didn't walk in wisdom. The Bible says that wisdom is the principal thing. And so I think we need to be asking for wisdom way more than we have been. Praise God. There's a lot of things we can ask for. We can ask for wisdom. We can ask for favor. We can ask for increase. We can ask for blessing. We can ask for health. But I believe we need to be asking God for wisdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So just like the verse before said, he has to ask in faith, here it's saying that when we ask, we have to believe that God's a rewarder. When we ask for wisdom, he's going to give us wisdom, because he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's lots of things that we can be asking for. And I believe as believers, we need to be asking for wisdom. And another thing we need to be asking God for is more resources, more financial resources to be able to do more for the kingdom of God. Now, like I said, we went to China with $35 of promised monthly support. And God, we never went hungry. God met our needs, you know. But it takes resources to do what we do. And in the last 12 years, I've seen about 20 different missionaries come off the field. And the majority of them came back because of financial stress. They, you know, that wasn't the only reason, but that was one of the large factors. They came, they were missionaries to China, And they came back because, you know, you got cultural stresses over there in China. You've got government stresses because the pressure from persecution. But one of the main factors of these 20 missionaries that I've seen come and go was financial. And praise God, we're at the point now where our personal families' personal needs are met every month. We don't have to worry about if our kids are going to have food or we can buy clothes for our kids. Our personal budget is met. So when we come back to the States, we're raising money for our Bible schools and for our outreaches to orphans and lepers, and we're raising finances, and we're coming to encourage the body of Christ in America. But for many of the missionaries over there, that's not true. In fact, it's probably our situation is probably more of an exception of the missionaries that we know, even the Rhema missionaries that we know. It's more of an exception than a rule. And I'm not saying that it's not the church in America's fault. It's not the missionaries' fault necessarily. It's definitely not God's fault. But as we believe God, as we trust God, we can believe together. You know, you guys are a partner with our ministry, so we're praying for you. Hopefully you're praying for us and believing God together for increase for this church. We're believing for increase for this church, and you can believe for increase for us. But one of the things that is really sad is of those 20 families that came back, left the mission field from China, five of the 20 have divorced and their families are broken up. What's that, 25%? Is that right? That's a really bad, I mean, you know, and if you look at the numbers of pastors and things that quit the ministry and families that are broken up, we have to stand on the word. You know, you can't say, well, I didn't have any money, so, you know, everything fell apart. The reason things fall apart, because your life isn't founded on the rock. Jesus said storms will come. But that's a huge influence. It's a huge problem for missionaries. We talk to other missionaries. I know of missionaries in several countries. Praise God, we've started to believe God for more. We've started asking God for more finances and more resources, and we've been sowing, and God's been giving us harvest, and we were able to pay this year for a surgery for another missionary that had been on the field for 29 years, missionaries to Asia for 29 years for a surgery, $10,000. Because God has been blessing us as we ask. We left with $35 of monthly support. And at that time, and in the last, even for the first 6-8 years, we were on the field thinking about paying for someone else's surgery for $10,000. It was like, you know, you might as well ask me to, you know, turn Texas upside down on the map. You know, it was just something that just seemed impossible. But God is blessing us as we ask. We left and we said, God, here we are. Send us, use us. So we really left with $35 of monthly support, a 7-month-old baby, and the gift that God gave us that we could ask. And when we ask, the Bible says, when we ask anything according to His word or according to His will, it says, if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if He hears us, we have the requests that we've asked of Him. So praise God. That maybe you're asking more than what I have ever asked, but I believe we need to ask for more. You know, He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. That's really big. I mean, I can ask, I can think a lot of things. There's a TV preacher that he's believing God for a 70-something million dollar airplane. And whether you like it or don't like it, or whether you think he needs one or doesn't think he needs one, that's between him and God. But if you don't like it, don't give to the ministry. But when you think about it, I was everywhere I drove. Last year we drove about 14,000 miles around the country. And I see these big billboards along the freeway for the Powerball and the big bucks, and it's normally about a 70 to 120,000 or 150,000, or I'm sorry, million. 70 million to 150 million. And somebody's always there's plenty of money in the world. The devil's got plenty of money. But the world's God said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So if we ask according to the will of God, if we ask with the right heart, praise God, God will bless us. He'll meet our needs. He'll give us, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, it says we can have an abundance for every good work. That's a lot more than what most of us have. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I encourage you to just think bigger and ask bigger and believe bigger. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's read Mark chapter 11, verse 22. One of my favorite verses. It's always good to read this verse. Mark 11, 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says." Verse 24, "Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Praise God, that's such an awesome verse, such an encouraging verse, such a useful verse. Jesus said, have faith in God. Or you could say, have the God kind of faith. You know, we have faith in our jobs. There's nothing wrong with having a job. It's good to have a job. Before we moved to China, I had two jobs. I had a full-time job, which was about 50 hours a week. And then I had about a year and a half before we moved, I got a full-time job. I had a full-time job the whole time, but I was doing about over 40 hours a week. It was 50 to 60 hours a week. And then I had a part-time job working about 39 hours a week. So I had two almost full-time jobs. We were saving up money. So when I say we left with $35 a month, we also had saved up $2,000, $2,500 or something like that to go over there and set up house when we got there. But once that money was gone, we paid 6 months' rent and we got everything set up, and then there was $35 coming in the next month. But I think oftentimes we have faith in our jobs, or we have faith in our businesses to meet our needs, but we need to have faith in God. And that's easy, you know, you say, well, maybe that's easy to say because you're a missionary. And so, you know, people send you money every month and it comes from God. But I'm not just believing for myself, just like Pastor Daryl Huffman. He's not just believing for himself. He has to believe for whatever staff he's got, whatever the light bills, the every other bill that he has here. We have an orphanage with like 68 children in it that we feed every month. We have to believe God for that money. And we have a rescue rehab home where we've rescued girls from human trafficking, from sex trafficking, with 21 girls in it. And we have to believe God for them, for food and for electricity and for rent for their house every month. And we've got 12 Bible schools in China, 12 small Bible schools in China. And about eight of those we pay rent on. We have to pay rent on that twice a year. We pay rent on those schools. We've got a school in Laos, a school in Myanmar. And so we've got a lot of things going. So it's not like it gets easier when you get more money, because you still have to believe for things. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. But I think it brings God glory. It brings him joy when we believe him for bigger things, for more things, when we say, God, not just things, but for people. The thing is, it takes things to reach people. If somebody's going to come in, if a visitor came to the church and there were no lights on and there were no chairs in here, it was dark, and think the visitor would stay for the service? Not too many of them. There might be some, but it takes some things to preach the gospel. Jesus even used a boat. He borrowed Peter's boat and went out on the water, and he needed a boat. Even Jesus needed things to preach the gospel. But it's not about that. It's about the souls that we can reach. It's about people we can lead to Christ, about lives that can be set free, people that can be born again, that can be filled with the Holy Ghost, that can be set free, that can grow up spiritually. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, you see this, it'll pop up if you do Facebook, or you'll hear people asking, you know, what would you do if you had $1 million? And if I asked you that question, then I asked you to write it down, would you really have a concrete plan of what you would do with $1 million? Because if you don't really have a concrete plan, then you're probably not believing for that money, really. You're just kind of like, well, it's not going to really ever come, so there's no sense in me making a plan. But if somebody said, I'm going to give you $1 million tomorrow, or if I said today, I said, at the end of the service, I'm going to give you $1 million, you'd start thinking, what am I going to use that for? Okay, well, I'm going to tie it to the church, and then I'm going to, I want to give to this ministry, and I'll buy my parents a house, and I'm going to get that car I've always wanted. You start planning. If you really believed you were going to receive, we know that's what faith is. It's believing you receive when you pray. So what are you believing for? And then are you planning as if God was going to do it? That's what we did when we moved to China. We said, God, here we are, send us. And we talked to our pastor. We were volunteering. I was a volunteer associate pastor and youth pastor at a church in Yorktown, Virginia. In fact, Pastor Daryl Huffman had come up there and spoke several times while I was there. I think while I was in the Navy stationed there, and then when I came back from Rhema, he came and spoke and ministered. But when we made the plan to move to China, I talked with my pastor, and he had peace about it. He had a confirmation that we were supposed to go, and so we started training people to take over our responsibilities. We hadn't left yet, but we started planning as if we were going to go. We started telling people and sending out letters and giving our stuff away and selling our stuff and getting ready to move. And then the time came, and it was only $35 a month. It was actually between a small Baptist Sunday school class of a church in Williamsburg, Virginia, and my uncle in Southern California. Between the two of them, we had a promise $35 a month. But we were believing, we knew that we had faith that God had said to go, and 12 years later, in a couple hours, we left. And God's been faithful. Like I said, 12 years later, we see the fruit from both from, and when I talk about the things that God's been doing over there, the Bible schools and the leper village ministry that we do, we go into leper villages, 129 leper villages in the province that we live and work in, with over 1,000 lepers. We go in and love on the lepers and minister to them and meet meet practical needs. We build shower buildings in their villages so they can take showers, and we give them food and care for them, and you guys have a part in that. The girls we've rescued from human trafficking, and there was a pretty good amount of people that weren't here last time when I shared, so I want to share this testimony again. Praise God. When we moved over to China, we had, after about 6 months, 8 months or so, I had the Navy College Fund and the GI Bill from serving in the military. And so finally, I got the university that I was stuttering. That's basically what I was doing at the beginning, was stuttering Chinese. It wasn't really good Chinese at the beginning, but now I'm pretty good. But I was basically just stuttering Chinese. The university where I was studying Chinese at, I got them approved. I had to fill out the paperwork, and I got them approved for me to get money from the VA, from the Veterans Administration, to study college at the university there in China. And so when that got approved, we started getting about $1,600 a month from the VA, and we used that. We paid our tuition, and then we paid for, like, my books and things, and then you can use the rest of it for living expenses. And so we took it, and we opened a restaurant as an outreach to a 16,000-student university. We rented a small restaurant building right next to a 16,000-student university, and we had hamburgers and tacos and enchiladas and pizza and steak and milkshakes and all kinds of food. And the university students would come to our restaurant to try Western food, but also we'd help them with their spoken English. So they'd come to eat the Western food, and then we'd help them practice their spoken English. We had English corners there. And through that restaurant outreach, we led a ton of people to Christ, but we have 38 department heads over our different ministries in China right now. And 37 of those 38 came to Christ through that restaurant outreach, praise God. And so, but two of the ones that came to Christ was two girls, two young ladies. And we were looking for waitresses and waiters. And so we put flyers up at the restaurant, flyers up at the university as well. And this girl came in, and she filled out the application. I said, come back on Saturday morning at 9 a.m., and we'll do an interview. And so Saturday morning at 9 a.m. came and went, and she wasn't there. 10 a.m., 11 a.m. She came in 3 hours late at 12 a.m. for an interview. So just some real practical advice that'll work in Huntington, West Virginia. It'll work in China. It'll work in New York. If you want to get hired, don't show up 3 hours late for your interview. Isn't that good advice? We always like to be practical at church, right? If you get a job based on that, that good advice, come and bring an extra offering and put it in here at the church. And so we all know that's true, but so when she was walking, it was almost like this. There was two double doors, but they were glass. And as I saw her walking up to the doors, I thought, you gotta be kidding me. Like, you don't show up 3 hours late to an interview without calling or texting or emailing or anything. It's like you just don't show up. If you're 3 hours late, there's no sense in even coming. But she came. And I thought she was just saying, hey, I don't want that job, or she found a different job. So she walks in, and in the natural, I'm thinking, I'm not even going to interview. I'm going to say thanks, but no thanks. Have a nice day, But on the inside, the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. And so we endeavor to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so on the inside, I'm thinking, we just need to interview her. So we interviewed her, and she was just as unqualified as all the girls and all the guys that showed up on time. But they showed up on time. And so I'm still thinking, I really don't want to hire somebody that shows up 3 hours late for an interview, because there's a good chance they're going to show up 3 hours late for work one day. But like I said, the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you could take that verse and turn it around and would not do it any disservice and say that sons of God, sons and daughters of God, should expect to be led by the Spirit of God. We should be expecting and believing God to lead us by His Holy Spirit. Amen. How many are believing God to lead you by His Holy Spirit? And so we hired her, and she came and invited her best friend, and her best friend came on time to the interview, so that's good. And they both got hired. They both went through training. They both got saved and got filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they both went through our discipleship program, and they both went through our Bible schools. And a couple years later, they came to us and said, God's put it on our heart to rescue girls from human trafficking, from sex trafficking. And so we said, well, that's something we had on our hearts, but there was no way that my wife homeschools our kids, and she's busy with that, and there's no way I can do that ministry as a man. And so we were just waiting for God to bring the right person along to do it. And so we got them some curriculum, some materials, and got them translated into Chinese. And they went through and studied that, and they started going to these brothels, taking gifts to the brothel owners and to the girls that were being used there, just developing relationships. And one day they asked one of the brothel owners, his name's Mr. Huang, they said, would you like to meet an American that can speak Chinese? Actually, what they said was, Ni xiang ren shi ge hui shuo zhong guo hua de wai ge ren ma? But if I had said that, you just think I was praying in tongues. So. And he said, I've never met an American, much less an American, that can speak Chinese. And actually what he said was, And so I met him at his coffee shop, at his actually tea shop, not coffee, excuse me. Met him at his tea shop. From the money he'd made running the brothel, he'd been able to buy a big tea farm up in the mountains with a ton of tea trees. And he'd opened a tea processing plant, and he'd opened a tea shop where he sells loose leaf tea. And so I met him there, and he made tea for me, and I talked to him, and he talked to me, and told me a little about his family. I told him something about my family, and then I shared the gospel with him. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so the power that's in the gospel, the power that the Apostle Paul said is in the gospel, came into that room, came into his heart. He was convicted of his sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he wanted to be born again, and he repented of his sins, and he prayed to receive Christ, and he shut the brothel down, and he set a bunch of girls free, and now he's helping us rescue girls from other brothels. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so it just started out with an ask. We just asked. That's why I encourage you to ask. Ask for something more than what you've been asking. Ask for something bigger than what you've been asking, because God has some big things that He'll do through you. The Bible says, as many as know their God, those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Amen? And so I like to say it like this. We should always be, we should have just come out of an exploit, like we just stepped out of the last exploit. We should be right smack dab in the middle of a current exploit, and we should be praying and believing and listening and sowing and preparing for the next exploit. That's how you use your faith. God, how are you going to use me tomorrow? How are you going to use me next month? How are you going to use me in the rest of this year or next year? God, I want to be used by you. Here I am, send me. Asking God to use you, asking God to flow through you, asking God to bless you so you can be a blessing. Asking God to give you the words to speak, to give you words of wisdom and words of knowledge and the gifts of the Spirit to flow through you. Amen? The more we ask, the more God is able to use us. You know, I'll tell you, and I can't remember what I shared last time, but I wasn't the most, the best choice. The Bible said God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. You know why he does that? Because then he gets all the glory for it. I had the lowest GPA of my high school graduating class. Now, there were some kids that had a lower GPA, but they didn't graduate. They were what we called super seniors. They liked our high school so much that they wanted to do it for a fifth year. But praise God, I had the lowest GPA of the graduating class, which means I graduated and on time. But it was very, very, it was by the grace of God, the mercy of God. And there was a lot of things involved in that. And I was very, very shy as a kid. In fact, when I went into the military at 17, I remember my recruiter saying, I want you to tell me any doctor you've been to. If you've been to the doctor for anything, I want you to give me the records and tell me. It doesn't matter if it was for a cold or a nosebleed or whatever it was, because he said, if we find out that you went to the doctor or had any type of medical condition and you didn't tell us about it, then you're going to get a dishonorable discharge and you won't even be able to work at McDonald's. And so I'm thinking, so I started thinking and thinking. I remembered when I was in elementary school, I was so shy and so quiet that I wouldn't talk to anybody. They sent me to this counselor, and the counselor had this little table, I remember, at the side of her desk, and it had sand in it, and I played in the sand and had me draw pictures and paint and play with the little figurines and animals, and I would ask me to tell stories and paint pictures and trying to get in my head, and that she didn't really want to get in there. It wasn't a pretty place, but I got those records, so I was shy. I didn't have any friends. I wasn't talking to anybody, and that's why they were trying to figure out what was going on with me. Is there something wrong with this kid? And so I was clinically shy. It wasn't just shy, I was clinically shy. I went week after week after week to this counselor. And the counselor didn't do me no good, but I did meet this one counselor that did me some good. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the counselor, amen? And it was my sophomore year of high school, and I was failing my biology class. And my high school teacher, I'll never forget his name. His name was Mr. Ledbetter. Anybody, are there any Ledbetters here? Does anybody have any Ledbetter family? Okay, good. So I don't think I did, but a lot of the other kids called him Mr. Bedwetter. Because you got Ledbetter, Bedwetter. I'm not saying that was a good thing to do, and I'm not completely certain I never did it because I wouldn't have put it past me. But they called him Mr. Bedwetter. So while Mr. Ledbetter was telling everyone, that they had come from monkeys and that they'd evolved from monkeys and from amoebas, I was kind of done with that. And I was to the point, it was about two-thirds of the way through the class, and I wasn't going to pass it. My grade was so low, I was going to fail no matter what. And so I just dropped the class, and I went out during that class, and I'd sit on the grass outside my biology class. In fact, I could look through the window and see him drawing on the chalkboard. And I sat out there and read my Bible. And it was outside my Mr. Ledbetter's classroom, the biology classroom, sitting on the grass reading my Bible, that I got filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in the book of Acts that when the Holy Spirit comes on us, that we'll be given power to be a witness. Praise God. And so that's what transformed my life. There was a counselor that did me good. And I'm not saying that, you know, God can use Christian counselors and Christian psychologists and they can really be a blessing to people and help people that are struggling. But as far as I know, the guy I was dealing with wasn't a Christian. And The best thing to have is if you have a natural counselor, make sure you rely more on the Holy Ghost counselor than and on them. Let the Holy Ghost work together with them. Praise God. Put him number one. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the Holy Spirit, and he'll bless you. But praise God. So I say that to say I wasn't the prime candidate to be the missionary to China. You know, it's funny, when I was in elementary school, all the way from, I actually didn't start going to school until the third grade. Really the fourth grade, more full-time. Because where we lived, there was no bus to pick me up. I was so far out in the middle of nowhere that I didn't have bus service. So we didn't have running water, electricity, or a flush toilet, or anything. And so there was no bus to come pick me up. And so I actually started going to school full-time in the fourth grade. So I was far behind in my education the whole time. And so from fourth grade all the way up to seventh grade, I was in special ed classes, special education classes. And the teachers and the special education advisors all said I had a learning disability, that I couldn't learn, and that I had problems in that area. But praise God, now I speak fluent Chinese. I can read Chinese and type Chinese, and so it doesn't matter what it looks like. I was listening to a pastor just actually on the way up here, and he said the biggest disadvantage in life isn't not having a good education. The biggest disadvantage isn't not having money. He said the biggest disadvantage is not knowing how to pray. And so you could say tonight, the biggest disadvantage is not knowing how to ask. Or you could say the biggest disadvantage is not knowing how to speak to the mountain. And so praise God, in this church, you have a pastor that teaches you to pray and teaches you how to pray and teaches you how to pray according to the word, how to ask, how to speak the word, how to speak to the mountain. And so you all are blessed, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That verse in the Old Testament, it says, those that, and I'll end with this, those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. It doesn't say those that have a lot of money. It doesn't say those that have a really good education or have a bachelor's degree, an associate's degree, or a master's degree, or a doctorate's degree. Now, all that education God can use. It's good to have an education. You want to be careful where you're sending your kids, though, because a lot of the schools nowadays are teaching such garbage that you don't want to be paying for it. That's just extra. I'll throw that in. But a lot of the secular colleges, you just be careful. Pray and be led by the Holy Ghost. If he told you to send them there, send them there. But make sure that you know and they know that they're going somewhere that God wants them to be, because there's a lot of these schools and the stuff they're teaching is garbage. So we want to be led by the Holy Ghost in every area of our life. Hallelujah. I know, in fact, just this testimony, we have one of our youth that was in our youth group in Virginia. They sent their kid to university, and he got in with the wrong crowd, and, you know, his life is turned upside down now. That wasn't even a secular university. That was a Regent University. But that's why it's so much more important that you are led by the Holy Spirit where you send their kids. I'm not saying they sent their kid to the wrong university, but there's a lot of influence that goes into your kids when they go to university. Hallelujah.